It can be found in your pew Bibles on page 889, if you'd like to read along. This is Luke chapter 2. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And the angels went away from them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as had been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, all this Advent, we've been working slowly through the Nativity, picking apart the story and the hopes of seeing it with fresh eyes and understanding anew what happened and what that means for us. And what we have seen is that it's a story of people on the move, appropriate for people whose lives never seem to stop moving. This past week, we saw Mary and Joseph arrive in Bethlehem, where in her distant in-law's interior animal paddock, she gave birth with zero fanfare. As we just read, the parade is on the way, but it's not there yet. But for their part, the parade participants don't even know that they will be that in the hours to come. Now, something interesting happens in this interim time. Jesus is born with only his parents watching in his adopted father's hometown of Bethlehem. But out in the field, where the shepherds are guarding their flocks, an angel appears and says to these ragamuffins, "A baby is born to you." Now, the angel could have just as easily have said that the baby was born to Mary, or that he was born to the family of David, but the angel says, "Born to you." Now, these guys in the field keeping watch through the night, they're just going about their work. In the midst of their ordinary lives, they're keeping faithful to their appointed tasks. And it costs them, largely in reputation. They're among the lowest of citizens in the empire, and we tend to romanticize them because of their role in the story, but no one in the first century would have counted them as desirable company. Shepherds were poor. They're undereducated. They're even thought to be dishonorable because their work kept them away from home in the evening, leaving their wives and their children unprotected. These guys, they work for a living. And out here where we get phone calls in the middle of the night, where our husbands and fathers, daughters and sons work long hours, even without the overtime, sometimes on second or third shift, we know these folks. We are these folks. And yet to these people, to us, the angel announces, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day." This word is given to them, for them. Not to the powerful and elite in Rome, but for all people, especially the lowly and the outcast. Not for any one community, not for any specific ethnic group, but it's a gift for all creation. With a scope so large, they have to know how small they are. Being from the margins anyway, they already feel like minor players. But compared to the cosmos, even ants seem larger. The shepherds have no right, no expectation, no hope in the world of being touched by the divine. We can hardly blame them for being afraid right off the bat. Now, this idea has really hit me this season, that Jesus is not given to his parents, but for them, for all people. That means that Jesus came for you. That holds even if this is the first time that you have set foot in a church in 6 months or a year or ever. Jesus came to be God with you. Not just with high holy folks, not just with church people. Maybe that's unbelievable to your ears. Maybe you've given up trying to be an insider. Maybe you've given up on religion or on God so that you could just get on with your life. Even if you're only sitting here in a pew in this church because someone else wants you to be here, he still has come for you. God hasn't given up on you. You see, God promised long ago, years and years before Jesus was born, that he would be with us. And what God does for us always happens in the context of his promise to be with us. The promise of Emmanuel, of God with us, is not a promise of things to come. God is with us now. He's with us now in our poverty. He's with us in our loneliness. He's with us in our hurting. Like the shepherds, we are witnesses to the presence of God among the people. As people of the incarnated God, we can be his presence in some of those places. Now, some of us have spent the last month reading a book and talking about what it means that God put on flesh to live among us. Like the shepherds, it's an idea that requires investigation. And we see that's just what they do. Let's go see this thing that we've been told about, they say to one another as they head off to Bethlehem. And I love in the story the holiest encounter of their lives to this point sends them to find bands of cloth and a barnyard. These lowly, tangible elements are placed front and center, even as Jesus is exalted by angel song and shepherd's praise. These aren't newsworthy items to Mary and Joseph. They're just the reality of what they had to work with. But they were signs of God's promise when the field workers arrived. As I mentioned earlier, and we detailed this past Sunday, the appearance of the shepherds is for these new parents the first indication that, yes, this birth is everything as special as they were led to believe. We mentioned that no family had checked in on them. No priests had stopped by. These scrubby shepherds are their first guests, and they're welcomed in. We'll check that. They're given full access to the family space, but really, they're God's guests, just like you are tonight. This story of long ago is not only about angels and shepherds, a mother and her newborn. It's also for us, all of us. Amid the candles and readings and carols and prayers, God came at Christmas so that we might have hope and courage amid the dark and dangerous parts of our lives. Whether that reality is lived out under an empire or desperately alone or is in a life that seems at once both so full and so hollow. This, in the end, is why we gather. So that as God entered into time and history so long ago, through the Word made flesh, that God might also enter into our lives. That's the point of the text tonight, and what I hope that each of you will walk away with. The birth of Jesus, his coming, is for you. It's not about you, but it's for you. And it's given not just for those who want to believe it or those who do believe it, but for everyone, for all people. There are no winners or losers here. Everyone gets a crack at the gift of Jesus. This isn't where the story ends. We see the shepherds leave and they go back on the move. But it's a heck of a start. Thank God for that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.